This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your signal to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, June 8th. The FCC has proposed fining Hobby King Corporation and associated entities $2.8 million for apparently marketing non-compliant RF devices and for failing to comply with commission orders. The proposed penalty comes in the wake of a 2017 ARRL complaint. According to a June 5th FCC Notice of Apparent Liability, Hobby King appears to have sold non-compliant audio-video transmitters intended for use with unmanned aircraft, such as drones, and in some instances marketing them as amateur radio equipment. The FCC stated, quote, "The Enforcement Bureau previously issued a citation notifying Hobby King of its legal and regulatory obligations and ordering it to cease and desist from marketing non-compliant equipment. Additionally, the Bureau issued a citation against Hobby King for failing to fully respond to a letter of inquiry. Despite these citations, Hobby King has continued its apparently unlawful practices," unquote. Hobby King had denied that it was marketing its drone transmitters to U.S. customers, but in its January 2017 complaint, ARRL pointed out that a member was able to purchase a drone transmitter from Hobby King and have it shipped to a U.S. address. In his letter to the FCC Spectrum Enforcement Division, ARRL General Counsel Chris Imlay, W3KD, described the transmitters as being blatantly illegal at multiple levels and noted that they used frequencies intended for navigational aids, air traffic control radar, air route surveillance radars, and global positioning systems, and not only amateur radio frequencies as the marketer had purported. ARRL lab staffers Mike Gruber, W1MG, and Bob Allison, WB1GCM, and lab manager Ed Hare, W1RFI, bought and tested some of the units, confirming the cited issues. In a related news release, the FCC said that while Hobby King represented that its transmitters operated in designated amateur radio bands, the commission's investigation uncovered that 65 models could also apparently operate outside of the ham bands. The FCC noted that amateur radio equipment used to telecommand model craft are limited to 1 watt, but 3 transmitters operated at significantly higher power levels of 1.5 and 2 watts. The Baker Island de-expedition, set to get underway on June 27th and continue until July 7th, is preparing for less-than-ideal conditions. The sponsoring Dateline DX Association said this week that its 15 operators are planning to maximize the times they will be available to work into propagation-challenged regions of the world. Their effort will include round-the-clock operation on 20 meters. On all bands, they plan to use SSB, CW, RTTY, and FT8. The de-expedition's permit restricts antennas to 43-foot verticals, which will compound the difficulty on some bands. Demand in the amateur community is likely to be high, since Baker Howard Islands is the fifth most wanted DXCC entity. The 18th USA Championships of Amateur Radio Direction Finding will take place June 13th through the 17th near Truckee, California, some 30 miles southwest of Reno, Nevada. The competition sites are at about 6,300 feet elevation near Donner Summit. An unofficial practice day will take place on June 13th. The opening day will be devoted to foxering, a combination of radio direction finding and classic orienteering. The morning of Friday, June 15th, will be the sprint event, followed by a model event for equipment testing and a competitor briefing. Classic 2-meter and 80-meter competitions will take place Saturday and Sunday, respectively. The course designer is Bob Cooley, KF6VSE, and the meet director is Jay Hennigan, WB6RDV, both USA ARDF championship medalists. The Hungarian National Media and Info Communications Authority has published an update to the National Frequency Allocation Table to provide amateur radio access to the band 5351.5 to 5366.5 kHz at a maximum power of 15 watts per World Radio Communication Conference 2015. Previously, three-month permits were available to allow access to 5350 to 5450 kHz at 100 watts, but these were discontinued in 2017. The Federal Communications Commission has turned away a petition for rulemaking from a Michigan radio amateur that asked the commission to amend Section 97.205 of the Amateur Service Rules to ensure that repeaters using digital communications protocols do not interfere with analog repeaters. Charles Atkins, KHCPA of Lincoln Park, had specifically requested that discrete analog and digital repeaters be separated either by distance or frequency, and that digital repeaters be limited to 10-watt output. Atkins had characterized digital repeaters as a major annoyance to analog repeater operators. The FCC told Atkins that current Part 97 rules already address the subject of interference between amateur stations, prohibiting, among other things, willful or malicious interference to any radio communication or signal, and spelling out how interference disputes between repeaters should be handled. Quote, "You have not demonstrated any changed circumstances or other reason that would warrant revisiting this decision. Consequently, we dismiss your petition." Unquote. The ARRL Foundation has announced two new scholarships available to young radio amateurs to support their post-secondary education, bringing the total number of scholarships the foundation administers to 81. The new scholarships have been endowed by the East Coast Amateur Radio Service and the Palomar Amateur Radio Club. Applicants for the East Coast Amateur Radio Service Scholarship must be performing at a high academic level and pursuing full-time studies at a two-year vocational school or four-year undergraduate degree-granting institution, with no restrictions on the applicant's field of study. Applicants must be between 17 and 25 years old at the time of the award and reside in the general East Coast Amateur Radio Service coverage area, which includes the ARRL Atlantic, Great Lakes, Hudson, New England, and Roanoke divisions. The scholarship award will be $1,000 annually. Applicants for the Palomar Amateur Radio Club Scholarship must be high school seniors performing at a high academic level and accepted at an accredited college, university, junior college, or a vocational technical school in the U.S. They should demonstrate activity and interest in radio service or technical proficiency by participating in some form of radio-related activity, such as emergency communications, equipment construction, or community service. Preference will go to applicants who live in San Diego or Imperial counties in California. The scholarship award will be $1,000 annually, with the first scholarship awarded in 2019. The Palomar Amateur Radio Club Scholarship Fund Committee will determine the number of scholarships to be awarded each year. The Park Scholarship is endowed with a $25,000 gift from the club.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm speaking with Bart Yonke, W9JJ, the ARRL Contest Branch Manager. And you know why we're here, Bart? We need a grid chase update.
We do, absolutely, Steve. Thanks for having me on. You know, May is almost completely in the books now. We've got the June 10th cutoff coming up at 2359 UTC. That's just 5 days away. Quick analysis of the data from the month of May show that we're seeing increases in the upper HF bands in activity, as well as on the 6 meter, 2 meter, 70 centimeter, and bands all the way up and including 10 gigahertz.
Really? Yeah. Even the microwave bands?
Absolutely. So on two fronts, of course, one is added increased activity both in the U.S. and Europe, and secondly, just as we get into the increased e-skip season, certainly for 6 and 2 meters, et cetera.
Yeah, I've been noticing a lot of activity on 50.313 where the FT8 folks hang out.
Sure has been, and those spots are coming through loud. I've got my own dxmaps.com set up for alerts, so I see 2 to 3 alerts every day for contacts exceeding 1,000 kilometers, and also alerts telling me about multi-hop events.
Well, speaking of VHF, we have a contest coming up this weekend, the ARRL June VHF Contest. And just to emphasize, for those who don't know, all of these contacts count for the International Grid Chase, correct?
Exactly, Steve. Everything that you work and upload to Logbook of the World counts for the International Grid Chase. So if you're uploading your VHF contest logs, particularly this weekend's June VHF contest, it all counts. One thing I did want to mention is we've got Field Day coming up here in just a couple of weeks.
That's right.
And that will be another event where people engaged in the International Grid Chase are going to find a relationship with Field Day, particularly where Field Day sites choose to operate from a more unique grid square. We want to make sure, obviously, that those Field Day groups that are participating do take advantage of our locator site. That's www.arl.org/field-day-locator so that people know where they're operating from. And remember that the digital modes are a hot topic, FT8 specifically. Take a look at June QST page 83, where we discuss how groups can include or use the FT8 mode during their Field Day exchanges, particularly when they put it in the TX5 sequence, which allows them to use 13 free text characters to incorporate their transmitter count, their class, and their section. Remember, the exchange in Field Day is transmitter count, class, and section.
All right. Very good, Bart. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
The International CubeSat and Mission Contest is being held in China at the Northwestern Polytechnical University. It is open to students from middle schools through universities from around the world. Also, researchers from research institutes, as well as individuals or groups interested in CubeSat and astronautics. The theme of the contest is CubeSat, the platform of an innovative space mission. Besides having a monetary prize for first, second, and third place, the first place winner will also receive one free launch opportunity of a 3U CubeSat or a 1U payload capacity. The award ceremony will be held at the China Microsatellite Symposium on November 20th, 2018. What a great opportunity to have your school or group recognized. For more information, visit CubeSatContest.org. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, June 8th. That on-again, off-again sunspot group that we talked about last week, well, it's rotating out of view now, but nothing has shown up so far to take its place. That being the case, we're going to see a decline in the solar flux index, with the result that bands above 20 meters will be somewhere between mediocre and dead. The good news, though, is that we're exiting from a stream of solar wind, so conditions on the lower band should be stable for a while. We have a promising weekend coming up on VHF and UHF with the ARRL June VHF contest starting at 1800 UTC on Saturday. Conditions have been good on 6 meters, and there have been a number of tropo openings on 2 meters and up.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.